Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. A lot of it made last night, a lot of it being made right now, are going right to the front lines of history in the making. The biggest news late in the evening, the results of various primaries, Republican primaries in Ohio. You're going to remember yesterday we talked about that. There's a fellow named J.D. Vance. He's an author who wrote Hillbilly Elegy. He was a left-wing guy, attacked Trump, attacked the Republicans. He could have been a guest host on this show. And suddenly he woke up one day and he said, you know, I want to be in the Senate. And I can't get a Democratic nomination, so I'm going to become a Republican. And every nasty thing I said about Trump and the Republicans, I'm just now going to say about the Democrats. And people are going to fall for it. Kevin Nicholson has done the same thing in this state. And he ran, and he was in not only not second place, I think he was in third place. And the front runner was a guy named Josh Mandel, a very right-wing guy who sucked up to Trump and just was was servile to Trump. And there are a couple of other people in there. Suddenly, after the early voting had started, about 10 days after even the early voting had started, Donald Trump came out and he endorsed J.D. Vance, who had said unbelievably nasty, terrible things about Trump just a couple of years ago. And the Republican Party in Ohio were up in arms. You know, how can you do it? Please don't do it. Blah, blah, blah. Long story short, J.D. Vance won. He won the primary with a plurality of the vote. I think in the low 30s, they're still counting. They're still doing the audit. Mandel, I think, at the last time I looked at it, was in second place. And this fellow Dolan, Matt Dolan, state senator, who is the only one who said, we got to get over Trump. You know, thank you for your service. Good luck. Out you go. And get beyond questioning 2020 election and get on to other things. And he surged impressively at the end. But what happened with him at the very, very end, what happened with him is he couldn't make up the ground. And it's obvious to me that there's a strong Trump element in the Republican Party still. Trump will be out there crowing like a rooster in the barnyard right now. He's going to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's all about me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, let's look at some other things. The Democratic nominee for the Senate in Ohio in November will be Tim Ryan. Remember something. We have our primary in August in Wisconsin. They have it in early May. Texas had it, I think, in March. Wisconsin used to have it in September. You can have your primaries whenever you want, but your election is going to be in November. And Tim Ryan, whom I think a lot of, Congressman Tim Ryan, been in the Congress for 20 years. He was elected when he was 29 years old, so he's only 49 right now. We induced him to run for the Senate. When I say we, I didn't talk to him, but I'm talking about the Democratic Party. And Tim Ryan swamped his opponent, who was a guy running against him, didn't have much name recognition or backing. So it'll be Ryan against Vance, Tim Ryan against J.D. Vance. And here's the deal. People go, oh, well, Matt, come on, Ohio. Trump won by 8 points. Last time he won by 8 points over Hillary. But the fact is that Obama won handily in 2012. And the truth is that there's a center part in Ohio that takes a good hard look at these candidates. And if I take one lesson out of these primaries yesterday, it's really from the Democratic side. There is a contest in the Democratic Party between the mainstream Democrats and the so-called progressives, the squad and this one and that one. There's a House seat, congressional seat in Ohio that Nina Turner ran for. You remember she was one of the national people for Bernie Sanders. She is a very, very difficult person. And I say that she attacks the Democratic Party. She attacked Joe Biden when he was when somebody said, "You're going to vote for him?" And she said, "Well, you vote for him, it's only having to eat half an S sandwich rather than the whole sandwich." So Biden endorsed her opponent, who was the incumbent, an African-American woman, very fine congressman. And Jim Clyburn came up from South Carolina and campaigned for Nina Turner's opponent. Bernie Sanders campaigned for Nina Turner. The outcome was Nina Turner lost again. She had last time. And the best analysis of this that I've seen, and I agree with it, is that the Democratic Party is not going to turn to hardcore, full frontal, quote, progressive, end quote. The squad type folks are kind of aberrations in aberrant districts. But what they have succeeded in doing is moving the mainstream Democratic Party somewhat to the left. And that's the way political parties work. In other words, there's a swirl of ideas. You have extremists on both sides, but they influence the parties themselves. So it was a big day for Trump, unfortunately, but at least we have some knowledge out of this. We know what's going on. J.D. Vance, after his endorsement, won in Ohio. But Tim Ryan is our nominee, and he's excellent. And Nina Turner is not going to Congress. And the woman who's in there now is a fine congresswoman. I think we're in good shape as a party. This happens to be a state that's gone red the last two elections, but it went blue before that. Deal with it. Deal with it. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, the Supreme Court's on my mind, but to the Ohio thing, too, they do elect Sherrod Brown. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, that's
a good
point.
I got to run something by you, Matt, about the Supreme Court situation. And I thought a lot about what you said yesterday, and I tend to agree with it. But here's another scenario I'm going to run by you, see if you think it's crazy. I think this might be, this leak came from their side, the right. And reason being, I think they're using it as kind of a litmus test or a trial balloon. And they're looking to see kind of early just how much blowback there's going to be. And they should have known there is going to be a lot when it's about polling, what, 70 for it to stay and 29%, you know, to get rid of Roe. So I guess what I'm saying is they're going to stand back and look at this for a week or two, and then Roberts will probably get together with Justice I Like a Beer, and they'll come up with something a little lighter, or they'll stay away from it totally, and they'll say, we don't want to touch this until after the midterms. It's going to pull too many votes out that'll go against us. Why don't we just let our powders stay dry until we see what happens this fall?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Your theory, and there are some people increasingly who are saying that. First of all, you know, we're not going to know who leaked it, maybe ever, but we certainly aren't going to know during this show this morning. But it's very useful to think about it. The Republicans are trying to steer the issue as to who leaked it and that they're a bad person and that kind of thing. The issue is fundamentally a lot more serious, obviously. Chief Justice Roberts has ordered the marshal to conduct an investigation. He'll be able to get subpoena power. They'll convene a grand jury. There are nine justices, and each of them has four clerks. That's 36 clerks. Then there are staff law clerks, and then there are other kinds of clerks who file things and all that kind of thing. The law clerks to the judges actually help draft the opinions after the judges tell them how they want it to turn out. So what Dick is saying is that one theory is that it was the right wing, perhaps a right wing law clerk or one of the right wing justices who leaked it and kind of let the air out of the balloon, let everybody demonstrate a little bit and get it out of their system. I don't know about that. I won't know, of course. The way we will know is when each of the clerks is brought into the grand jury and one of them says it refuses to testify, they will get fired. But there's a question whether it is a criminal offense. I mean, there are statutes. You can gin up a criminal offense out of almost anything, but we won't know. We won't know. I think that they will do a subpoena Politico. Politico will argue reporter privilege. I've litigated a lot of reporter privileges for my media clients here in Wisconsin over the years. It's an important privilege. Otherwise, you couldn't have a functioning press. And so it's like the Pentagon Papers. So I think Politico will be okay. They don't have to rat on whoever gave it to them. But the larger issue, and we're going to get to that later in the show, isn't whether the murderer was Colonel Short in the library with a whiskey bottle or something. I mean, this is a lot bigger than that. And the more I've watched coverage of this, I had initially hoped that there would be a some kind of a concurring opinion on narrow grounds, that enough people would glom onto it, so that the only thing that happened out of this is that they upheld Mississippi statute, which is 15 or 16 weeks, which reads on first trimester in Roe v. Wade. I'm less sure of that now, quite frankly, after listening to it all. We don't know. We won't know. But I will tell you, and we're going to talk about this later, this is all because Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in October and Moscow Mitch rammed through Amy Comey Barrett in November and lame duck voted on by senators who'd been beaten in elections. And this Bear 5-4 is going to change the United States. That's disproportionate. It's wrong. We're going to get to it later. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.